a generous heart. And I know back in my life, back before I got born again, and I only bring my past up because I'm not that person anymore. I'm a free man. I'm a different man, you know. But I like to glorify God in what where he brought that man, broken man, from, you know. But I remember back before I got saved, I mean, I took all the time. I mean, if I had opportunity, I would take. I was a taker, you know. And how many knows takers live miserable, especially after you're born again. But after I got born again, as you begin to walk with the Lord, and it don't mean you don't have challenges. Me and Teresa were so messed up. We didn't know how messed up we was when we got saved. All we know, we got saved, praise God. And we knew we need to start going to church. And so we started going to church. We knew we need to read the Bible. So we started reading the Bible. And how many knows that right there? You are on a road of recovering it all. You're on a road right then, whether you understand it or not, whether people believe it or not. And I like what Samantha said, you know, about the Word of God, the relationship with God. Because as I begin to walk as a young Christian, you know, I mean, a lot of people said a lot of stuff about what was in the Bible. And as I would read, I would find that it's not so. A lot of it wasn't so. And my pastor said one time, he said, not too long into that, he said, and he read it over there in John, I believe it is, he said, you gotta love truth. He said, if you believe lies, he said, it shields you, it insulates you from the truth. He said, but the truth, if you believe truth, it insulates you from lies. You know, of the enemy and the world and the world system and the world's way of doing and being, you know. So I set out, you know, and I started having, how many knows, if you're going to serve God, you're going to start to get a heart like Him. You don't have to make yourself get a heart like God. Now, you can desire to have a heart after God and all that. I'm not saying that, need to, you know. But you'll start having the attributes of God. And one thing that God is a giver. I mean, for God so loved the world. I mean, He gave His only begotten Son. That was the ultimate sacrifice for me and you, to be in union with Him. Not just save us from hell, you know. I mean, I was born again from hell, but I was still living like I was in hell, you know, until I started to walk with the Lord. But God began to turn me around to where He caused me to want to be a blessing, you know. I mean, I believe the more generous that God's people get, I believe the freer they'll get and the better life that they'll live, a more joyful life, a more fulfilled life, because being generous, you know, what causes you to live, you know, I mean, it just helps every aspect of our life. And it's not about money. You know, I mean, it's just like today, I'm glad I go to work and I don't go to work for money. I mean, I know that sounds crazy, but I'm a free man. I let Jesus be my source and have worked on it and still working on it. I'm going to maintain it. You know, I worked on it to where my trust, and it's a process that we take to where we don't trust in money. We don't trust in things. We trust in God, you know, and that's a place of freedom. Then everything that comes in our life, we know, is just tools. It's just He wants us to have that to enjoy life, or, you know, He wants us to have that to give, or, you know, and He brings us to a place to where, you know, we got money and we can help others. And as we get a generous heart, we will grow, and we'll grow spiritually, and we'll also gain wealth. Talking to one of my guy that I've done doors for years and years, and he's talking about the pandemic and his church and how they had service and all of that. And I'm standing there, and scripture started coming to me about Jesus took on Himself poverty, might be rich, and I'm thinking, oh man, I don't even want to talk about this right. You know, I mean, why can't it just load and Him go and all of that? But I started saying things, you know, that God wants His body. He's not coming back after a weak, broke church. He's coming back after a glorious church, a church that is occupied, a church that His kept the faith, a church that cast out them demons and break curses and, you know, realizes that we have power in those things. But having a generous heart will keep us in faith. It'll keep us humble before the Lord. Giving keeps you humble. You know, when we're, it'll help you to stay humble. It don't make you humble. We humble ourselves. But I thought about this. I thought, Travis, Lord spoke to him one night to give somebody in the church $100. And, I mean, he's going to obey the Lord when he knows it's the Lord. But he goes to that person, I don't know. They said, man, take that. You don't understand. I'm fixing to put that back in my pocket. God told me to give it. You better take it quick. You know, that's a true story. I mean, that's where he was at, you know. I mean, you don't obey the Lord don't mean your flesh is going to like it. Well, before, if I'm not mistaken, y'all correct me, before the service was over, God told somebody to give him $100. Is that right? He had $100. He had his $100 back out of obedience to the Lord. But you know what? It wasn't even about the money. It was about God asking a sacrifice and us being willing, you know. But that's the key to more. Giving is the key to more, praise God. And I was thinking about, I thought about, give me that scripture, Beth, Matthew 6, 33. Jesus was teaching them, and up to this point, he was telling them, don't worry about your life. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about things in the natural realm. He was telling them, don't worry. And he went on and told them, he said, oh, you have little faith. You know, and when I read that back yonder, I thought, God, man, I've not got much faith because I worry still about my truck payments. I worry about my mom. I worry about things. I worry, you know, and you try to fight it, you know, and he says, oh, you have little faith, you know. And I thought, man, I got to work on this, you know. And the Lord asked me, how many bills have you paid worrying? Worrying don't generate money. It generates anxiety. It opens the door for fear, you know, whether it's sickness or whatever, you know. I mean, you know, and I know when they told me that I was going to have open heart surgery, you know, I set out in my mind, I thought, glory to God, the anointing's going to be on the doctor, the anointing. God's hand's going to be on the doctor. And I go in the name, what was I doing? I was getting on top of fear. Because statistics, I mean, they tell you, you know, you got a 60-70% chance, there's a chance you might not make it out. They wanted me to watch the videos, but I didn't watch the videos. I don't need them videos. Just do it. Right? Just do it. I don't need to watch them videos where they cut you up and all of that and see what I'm going to look like. Travis walked in the room like to pass out when he seen all the tubes coming out of me, he said, and I don't remember them. Thank God they got some good stuff down there, man. Ooh, yeah, baby, take some at home with you. Hallelujah. Praise God. But you know what? I got right on top of it. You know, I didn't worry about it. I was sitting there and I was thinking at one time, I'm not going to be the same man. Tears started rolling down my face. And feeling sorry for yourself, you know, that's what I felt. I felt the oppression. And then Teresa, she noticed it, and then I straightened right up, bless God. I kicked that thing right out of there, right out of my thinking and all that stuff. Praise God, straightened right up, hallelujah. Went in there in victory and came out in victory. Well, now I'm telling you that story, but see, it don't make no difference if up here and I'm facing financial trials or you know, like he was telling them, don't worry about your life. And the Lord spoke to him. He said, your church, this church, my church, he said, they don't have to worry about money. We are blessed people. And you know what? I mean, it's just like somebody with Teresa's sunglasses. Now, she about wore me out with them. And that was good. You know, I watched her walk out something with them. I watched it with my own eyes. And I could have bought her a bunch of pair of them glasses. But she warned me not to get involved. Don't get involved, you know. And I had the thought, well, I could call Travis, you know, and tell him, you know. And then I thought, well, I could do that. But if she asked me, Did I do anything to make it happen? I would have to tell her, well, yeah. I thought, no, I'm not taking that chance. Well, see, I didn't need to get involved and mess up her believing. Because she set out that God has inspired me to believe for this. What, don't the Bible say, delight yourself in the Lord, and He'll give you the desires of your heart. Commit your ways to Him. He'll bring it to pass. Now, who am I to say it's got to be, you know, something as dumb as a pair of glasses? But it don't matter what it is. If God can cause an axe head to float, that's in your Bible. If God can empower Elisha and he outruns chariots of horses, I ain't never been able to outrun a horse. And I've actually tried to catch them. They can run 30 miles an hour, most of them. He outrun them, Mac. I mean, you take a dude that goes into the lion's den. That's the way they killed folk back then. Those lions were hungry lions. They are killers. And they would throw them in there and they would chew them up. They probably didn't last long. You know? Well, Daniel was through in there. And an angel showed up and stopped the mouths of the lions. See, He's the same God today that will and does and going to, and we are going to see Him working with His people on this earth, doing signs and wonders and performing miracles. Well, I was talking to that brother, Dad, I don't know what you know, and he's looking at me like, he's one of them weird ones. I mean, you just feel it. You just feel it, you know. And I'm like, nah, it wasn't weird. And so when I felt that, I said, well, you know, I started reading things in the Bible that churches taught me that wasn't in the Bible, started reading the Bible. Same thing you were saying, some of us saying. I said, it wasn't in there. I said, like being broke, living in poverty. I said, Jesus took poverty on. I said, He took it on Himself. He became poor. Jesus was not poor. Preachers told me that Jesus was just poor, you know, and all of that. Never coming to realize, enlightened by the Holy Spirit, of the Bible that they read, that Judas was stealing from Jesus. He was stealing money. If he was broke, how come he needed somebody to carry and count his money? So I told that guy, I said, you know, God, I said, the pandemic hurt a lot of Christians, and it hurt a lot of churches. But our church come out strong. I said, people come out stronger spiritually because of the battle. I said, we all struggled to do what we felt God wanted us to do. We all hated to be engaged in a battle not of our own, that come out of this world system. It wasn't a battle that God initiated. It was a battle that we believed as Christians that came from the enemy that was trying to kill, steal, and destroy according to John 10:10. I said, but we knew that Jesus came that we might. I said, but you know, I said, we did what we felt we was led. I'm talking about the body, the Christians. The ones that didn't, they suffered loss. They suffered spiritually. They suffered setbacks. Some of them suffered defeat. Some churches didn't make it. We prospered through it. I mean, people mailing us money and everything. I mean, people, we wasn't taking up tithes and offerings, and most of you, and I did, hung on to my tithes. I mean, I tithed every week just right on because I didn't spend my tithe money. Well, that is a commitment to be a giver into the kingdom. But I told that guy, I said, yeah, he's looking like a deer in the headlights of your car. I wonder what's coming at you, you know. I mean, that's just the way he looked. And I've knew him for 25 years, you know. And he's the one brought it up. He said, you're still preaching? I said, oh, yeah, I've been pastoring 21 years so far. He said, that's awesome. We'll get time. I said, yeah. I said, you know, I said, during the pandemic, I said, I had this statement at my church, you know. I put it on Facebook, you know, come on to church. We got offer hand sanitizer and gloves at the door, you know. And I said, but most of all, I said, we have the word of God in action that no plague will come nigh our dwelling, Psalms 91. I said, and I had the scripture. I said, we didn't have service for just a little bit, and I said, I felt backslid. I said, I felt like I was backslid. I said, why? I said, because I wasn't being able to initiate the will of God that I know to be the will of God in my life. Well, just like being generous and have a generous heart and all of that, you got to initiate that, that you're going to be like God. You're going to be generous like God. You're going to give mercy like God. You're going to be merciful. I told him, I said, yeah. I said, I read the story. I said, I didn't see too many people that believe God. I didn't know what I was even thinking back then, you know. I said, and I read the story of Jesus in the hinder part of the ship not too long after I read it. I said, I had a street ministry. I went on the streets every Friday night. I said, and this particular Friday night, I said, they were thunderstorms. I said, and turned on the news. I said, and it was a line all the way from Mississippi through Alabama. And it was going to be an all-night, not-ending thing. Not ending. I said, and I went in my bedroom down to this God that had saved me. I said, and I knelt down there, and I said, God, I said, Lord, stop this storm, Lord, so I can go preach tonight. God, you give me a sermon, Lord. And God, just give me, you know, stop this storm. And the Lord, I said, the Lord spoke to me by the Holy Spirit. He said, you speak to the storm. I said, and I thought about the scripture where Jesus come out of the hinder part of that ship up there and spoke to that, when they woke him up and spoke to that storm. I said, I thought about that. I said, Jesus spoke to that and said, peace be still. I said, then he turned around to the disciples, his followers. How many knows we're his followers? I said, he turned around to them and kind of got on to them a little bit. He, you know, in other words, he said he did, didn't he? I said, yeah, he did. I said Jesus expected them to speak to that storm. I said, if you read up to that, he's been teaching them on the banks. He's been teaching them in the ships. He's been saying, cast out your nets for a drought, you know, and all that. He's been showing them, if you'll obey the Lord, supernatural things happen. I said, so I got up. And you could tell this guy really never heard anything like that. Then I thought about Smith Wigglesworth. I think it was Smith Wigglesworth. The plague, where they put... Yeah, John G. Lay, I told him. I said, there was a man. He said, a real one? I said, well, yeah. Now, he wasn't in the Bible. I said they had a plague break out overseas over there. I said, and the Lord told this man, the same God that me and you serve, told this man to go over there, that he wanted that pandemic stopped. I said, and they tried to get him not to go. No, you'll get it and die. You'll get it and die. He told them, and he told them, he said, you can put it on me and it has to die. Well, they did it. They put it on him and it died. Well, he went over and God did miracles. And I told him that. I said, as the days gets darker, I said, the church is going to shine. They're going to shine. Hallelujah. I said, but it ain't going to be the ones that cows down to hardship and gives in and don't fight. I honored this girl right here and all of y'all. I mean, because she's took a stand, the job, she needs the job. They probably need the finance. I don't know, hallelujah. But I'm telling you, she took a stand. She's coming to church on Sunday. Three strikes out, she ain't even got a strike yet. And I told the Lord today, I said, Lord, you did it for me, and you made an example out of me in front of 30 people that worked there. When I took a stand for you and willing to quit my job to go to church, Lord, like a lot of Christians at that time, God, you can't do that. What y'all gonna do? Well, he told them up here, don't worry about your life. Don't worry about what you'll wear. Don't worry. He didn't say, if you take a stand for me, you're gonna have to start worrying. The Lord made an example. He paid somebody to come in. He paid somebody to come in and load my truck, and I never had to miss church again, Mac. I didn't have to quit my job, and God gave me a raise through that company. Raised me up right under in less than a year. Right, I'd been there a long time, couldn't get a raise. You ask that dude for a raise, he'd just about fire you. And I started serving God and believing this God that I'm talking about tonight with that guy. He said, what happened? What happened? Did you speak to this one? I said, I did. I said, I got up and I stood in that window. I said, and about the time I stood up, a lightning strike, and it got worse. I spoke to it. My mind is saying, you're dumb, you're dumb, you're dumb. But the Word said. And so I spoke to it. I command you, peace be still. I command you to back off in the name of Jesus. I will go preach the gospel tonight. I command you to bow to the name of Jesus. It got worse. I go out and I get in the van, I go load my speakers and stuff up, and I'm telling that this is a true story. I told him, I said, what I'm fixing to tell you, I said, if I had not have been there, I would not believe it probably. I said, I drove that van. I said, about 15, 20 mile an hour is all I could see to drive. I said, I come off. I said, and I pulled in on this parking lot that I'd been where I was going to preach. I said, and I was shocked. I said, there was a wall of rain all around that parking lot. I said, and to my knowledge, not one drop of water hit that parking lot until I put my last speaker back in that van. Over an hour and 10 minutes. And people come in and their cars were sitting to where they had to park. It was raining on their cars, half of it, and it was running off. Whoo, we had a good time in Jesus. Boy, I learned right then, tornadoes ain't got nothing on this boy no more. I'm going to kill them before they get here. I done spoke to the one tomorrow night, Friday night. They're saying straight line winds and all that. And I done spoke to it and said, not at my house. But God, not at my property you ain't. I speak to you to lose your power before you get to Alabama. Well, what if it don't happen? Well, you just watch. Y'all just join in with me. One puts a thou two. We have authority over this stuff that comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Right? Hallelujah. The enemy trying to take the baby. He's not going to get her. No weapon formed against them will prosper. He's tried to get all of our kids at one time or another, but God. Hallelujah. They may have had to suffer some consequences, but bless God, our Redeemer lives. Matthew 6:33, here it says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. I told a guy one time, I said, no, what about that? What about that? People are telling me I'm supposed to be broke, man. I don't know about all that. I said, I've been broke and I don't like it. So I went and studied this, Mac. I went and got me a Strong's Concordance. Most preachers that I knew back in, you'd say, you got a Strong's Concordance? Strong's Concordance. And I don't need nothing but the King James. They had me convinced. Teresa got her NIV. I told her, I said, that's of the Amplified. I said, that's of the devil. I said, all we need is the King James Bible. Now why? We're in the Bible. Where in the Bible does it say all we need is the King James Bible? There ain't no scripture to back that up. We need the Holy Spirit. We need Him. We need Him. And then they some things in there that was translated is not really right in the King James. But I'm not going to throw it away because it is the inspired Word of God. It is living. I realized back then when the Lord showed me, I had a preacher one time, he said, oh, you just need the King James Bible, do you? That's all you need. He said, did you know that King James translated that Jesus didn't speak English? You could have slapped me in the floor. I thought Jesus was a white boy up to then. He come from Jerusalem, man. is born in Bethlehem. He's born overseas. I mean, I don't know why I thought Jesus was a white boy. But you could have slapped me in the floor. I thought, oh God, Jesus wasn't white. Oh, this is just not good. This is not good. I know ain't nobody ever had that happen but me, but I was devastated that Jesus was not white. I know that's dumb, you know, but I mean, that's how carnal I was. That's how racist I was back yonder, you know. And anyhow, I just had to settle it. I said, well, he's spirit and he's life. But you know what? A preacher said, oh, all you need is the king. This wasn't my message, but y'all need it, and I need it, and I need it. I feel it. He said, all you need is a King James Bible. He said, you don't even know that the Bible wasn't written in English, that Jesus couldn't speak English. Jesus spoke Greek and Hebrew. I thought, this is a false prophet. He's got to be a false prophet. Jesus speaks English, we do. But he didn't. And so once I come to the realize, that's the Holy Spirit leading me down a path. Now it had me curious to what Jesus did speak, you know, and then told me that the King James was translated by a man, you know, into English so that we here in the United States could understand, could read it and all of that. And so then about that time, Tracy, we need to get a Strong's Concordance. I thought, here she is with this book stuff again. She ordered us one, didn't you? It cost $20 back then, wasn't it? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I reluctantly drove her to the Christian bookstore. I didn't think I needed a Strong's Concordance, Mac. I got the King James. Thus thou and all that. And I mean, I can't understand all of that anyhow. So I do need something to help me understand. So I got that Strong's Concordance, and I'm telling you, praise God, things. All these things shall be added unto you if you put God first. All these things, the word things means material substance. That revolutionized my thinking when I seen that in there. I thought, glory to God, that's how come, man, he's trying to deceive me. That you don't care about our natural life down here, what I drive and all. You do, Lord. You do. You care about it. You want us to have dependable vehicles and nice vehicles, as long as they don't have us, Lord. You want us to, and then started through the scripture. But the first thing that God started dealing with me, because he wanted to bring me to a place to where he could make me a blessing, was he give me opportunities to give when I couldn't afford to give. I couldn't afford to give it. But you know what? That was seeking the kingdom. I was already doing everything I knew to seek the kingdom. I was going to church. I was trying not to cuss anymore. It didn't work all the time, Mac. I still, you know, slip up and say some things and, you know, get angry. But I was trying. I'd repent and get back in there in the flow. I was seeking the kingdom. Didn't even really realize it. I was doing what it says. I was seeking first the kingdom, and all these things, the Bible said, will be added to you. And God told me one time, he said, take care of what's mine and I'll bless you in what you need down here. Every time my business would get slow for years, the Lord would say, go work on the church. And I'd go down here, man, and I'd bring my phone, and I'd work on the church. And I mean, every time I would do it, my phone would start ringing. I'd be like, man. Then I seen how God was doing that. What was I doing? Seeking the kingdom. I was putting him first. I was giving when I didn't have nothing to give to the Lord. It wasn't about the money. And then when it started getting slow again, I'd say, Lord, you want to go work on the church or something? Seek first the kingdom and all these things will be added. Give me that. When I was thinking about, I thought about Solomon today. It's in 1 Kings 3, I believe it is. 12:3 maybe, or 3, anyways. It's where Solomon was there and got and he had a dream from God. She's got it. And Solomon loved the Lord, walking the statues of David, his father, only be sacrificed and burnt incense in high places. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon that altar. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, "Ask what I shall give thee." I mean, he appeared in a dream to Solomon. He said, "Ask what you want. Tell me what you want." Go on, Beth. I think it's verse 9. Is it? Yeah. He said, which he said, which cities are these which thou hast given me, my brother? And he called them the land of... No, that's not it. Let's see. Yeah. I'm sorry. That's good. I know that wasn't it. Anyhow, she's getting it, he goes on and he said, "Lord," he said, "you give me this place where my dad was." I'm paraphrasing a little bit. He said, "And Lord, all of these people that I've got to lead God," he said, "Lord, give me a," he said, "give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people?" Bunch of people was under him. And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked a thing. And God said to him, "Because thou hast asked a thing thou hast not asked for thyself, long life, neither have asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked of thy life of thine enemies, thou hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment." Go ahead, Beth. "Behold, I have done according to thy words. I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there is none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I also have given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches, honor, and so there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days." And the Lord spoke to me. And the Lord said, "See, Solomon was not selfish." He said, "Solomon asked him for wisdom, for people." And we do it. Lord, use us. Use us, Lord, to witness. Lord, we don't want to be used by you. Now, we're believing God for our houses to be, all of that stuff. But we're seeking first the kingdom. The Lord spoke to me. He said, "If you'd asked for all of it, I wouldn't have given it, probably." He said, "But because he was not selfish, he asked me for wisdom. He asked me for a heart that he would be able to see good and evil, that he would be able to," and it goes on. And one woman laid on her kid later on and killed her kid. Two women had kids, so she went and stole the other one and put her dead kid with that woman. And so they went to Solomon, and he couldn't tell which one it was, but whose kid it was. So he told him, he said, "Okay, bring the baby." He said, "Cut it in half." He said, "Give half of it to her and half of it to her." That was God's wisdom. And you know what? The real mama stood up and said, "Nah, just let her have it." He said, "Take the baby and give it to her. It's hers." The other one didn't love that baby like that one. But that was the wisdom that God gave him. See, we have supernatural wisdom from the Lord. He will give you wisdom in things. He'll give you wisdom when other people can't figure it out. And you'll do things just like the rat problem. Now, I felt like I was on a mandate. I mean, Mac almost fainted out there. Big Gopher jumped out and he screamed like a woman. I'd never heard a man sound like that. I would have too, man. I'm glad it was Mac. Not glad it was you, but better you than me. And so, I felt it was a mandate. But I was thinking about today when the Lord... brought this to my attention about Solomon. Today I started judging my heart and I'm like, why was I so after that, you know? I felt like I was on a mandate from the Lord. And it put me under pressure with people, and people got upset with me and all that, you know. But I I started thinking about it. I thought, why was I so? I thought, well, I couldn't stand the thoughts of people taking them rats home. It really, I mean, rats don't bother me. I could have one for a pet. Teresa would let me feed it, get it tame, man. You know. Now she's like, if one's in the house, I mean, she gonna get out of the house till it goes. About it. Well, you know, went on, you know, and everything. And I thought, why was I so persistent in that? He said, because you felt like it was a dishonor to me. He said, you felt like it was a dishonor for your church. You know, it was not representing the Lord. He said, what was it? Y'all don't? Yeah, I did, didn't I? Okay, anyways. Yeah, I'm fixing to lead up to that. Yeah, I'm fixing to lead up to that. Well, I felt like I was saying, well, Lord, you know, that was kind of like Solomon there. You know, I couldn't stand that, you know, representing you like that and sending those to those poor people that we're trying to help, you know. And good Lord, I mean, they're, you know, and all of that. And I thought, well, that's how come, man. I wasn't thinking about me, really. I was thinking about other people, you know, and our church and all of that stuff, you know, and everything. So I got I went and picked up the food. And I told the Lord when I left there, because I told the lady, I said, so he's not going to do nothing. I don't know, Brother Weston. I said, okay. I thought, just shut up, you know. So I get in there and crank the truck, and I'm pulling out. And I said, God, I will stop this ministry today if you will let me. I'll shut this food off, hauling these rats. But anyhow, he wouldn't talk to me about that. That's not what he wanted, you know. Well, go on and got a text yesterday. And I didn't know that it was the dude that got upset with him. I thought it was the lady that I deal with. Sent me a message and said, well, we're signing a contract tomorrow with Cook's Pest Control. And it's gonna be initial $400 start out and $90 a month. And I went, I'm mailing the $400 right now. You know? And so I didn't even know it was him. I said, thank y'all guys for doing that. I said, and I called his name. I said, tell him I said thank you for doing that. And then a few minutes he said, this is him. I thought, oh well, you know. So I go in there, I pull my wallet out, I throw the $400 up on the bar, and I said, I'm sowing a seed into that ministry. I said, mail that, put that in a bank and mail it. I'm sowing a seed. Well, I'm telling you that for a reason. That was just a spontaneous thing for me that God, and I thought, glory to God, glory to God. I thought, you know what, God? I not only helped us, I helped 28 or 30 more ministries. And I helped to take a big burden off of them, because I don't know if they believed that they couldn't, you know, pest control wouldn't do that. See, the enemy, if you believe a lie, it'll stop you from your help. And so when she told me that, it didn't set well in here. See, I always look on the inside in every situation you're in. Believe God for wisdom. Now we got Jesus, and then the Bible says, if a man lacks wisdom, let him ask God. In James over there, he says he will give him liberally, and he will not hold back. You don't have to feel like you have the wisdom of God. You ask God for the wisdom, and you say, I believe I receive it, and I will have wisdom in everything I do. Go about saying, everything I set my hands to do will be blessed. And so then wisdom will come, just like that was wisdom. Didn't sit well with me. So I left, and I thought, something ain't right here, Lord. Something just ain't right. I thought, am I upset? First, I got to check and see if I'm upset and grieving the Holy Ghost, you know. And I thought, no, I'm not upset, but I am determined. I thought, I'm calling Cook's. So I got back home, and I called Cook's Pest Control up there. And I asked them, I just point blank went through the bid. Oh, yeah, we do. I said, oh, good, thank you. I hung up. I said, they will be in touch with you. I hung up. called them. Well, we can't afford it. What? I said, God ain't broke. Now, if we was broke down here and believed all this poverty garbage that Satan's spreading out through the churches and through people's lives, if I believed all that, we just going to have to go deal with the rats, man. No, we getting rid of the rats in Jesus' name. We getting rid of them. We ain't holding them. Y'all ain't going. We was a part of delivering every church. They may not ever know it. But we going to get up there and God's going to say, boy, y'all did a good job. Glory to God, standing against that COVID, standing against that cancer, standing against all that thing, those things that were against the, against me in the Bible. Y'all stood against that. Y'all believed me. Y'all walked. Y'all didn't feel good about believing me at times because you wasn't popular, because they looked at you like a deer with in your headlights, you know, because they're like, well, they're them weird minds. They're that faith movement. I've heard it all. We've been devil worshipers here. According to people. And I would just hold my head up high. Glory to God. You know, they even told me I couldn't teach tithing here. I told them, you're 13 years too late, homie. You are 13 years too late, homie. I'm blessed. We're going to be blessed. Then I'm able to walk in here and need all of, we needed, it was $3,000 for this drop ceiling. And we sowed a seed, bless God. Believe God. Well, give me the Proverbs, Beth. Let's see what God's got to say about this in the book of wisdom. This is the book of wisdom right here. There is that scattereth them. What? What happened to y'all? Johnny, you're going up, baby. I was thinking about this. I thought Johnny is a machinist or whatever he is. Are you a machinist or whatever? God knew Johnny was a machinist. Now, God could have told me, go over there and buy that van and give it to so-and-so. And I could have went over and bought that van. That dude said, yeah, I got some dyes and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, dyes? You got any bulldozers? You got any cows? How about some cows? You know, how about some seed spreaders? But no. I mean, Johnny, that was in the obedience. There probably nobody in this church would even give a dime for what you got. It means nothing to them. But God knows. There is that scatters and increases. That was God's increase. That boy won't never lack for rides. Galatians 6:7 says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he reap. If we sow faith in God's word in our heart, that's what we'll reap. We'll reap the faith and the benefits of God's word. That's why I tell teenagers, I've told them before, I told this one in particular stood out to me, and their parents were poor. They were poor Christians. You know, and I'm thinking, they just think they taught the word, and that's fine. I wasn't judging them, you know. They don't know what I know. They don't know, you know. I mean, you know, you got to be open to the Lord. You got to seek the Lord. You need to fast and pray and read that Bible and listen to preaching and read books and read these books and stuff, you know. And so I thought, I'm going to teach this kid right here how to get their own car without mom and them. Not teach them to be rebellious against mom and them, but teach them, you know. Jesus can get, I told him, I said, did you know Jesus can get you a car? Oh, he can. I said, yeah. I said, you need to go buy your steering wheel cover. And you need to put it in there. I've told y'all the story. I got a call from that little girl several weeks later. I brought it out to Zach here. I don't know if he ever got him a steering wheel cover. Did he do it? He got a steering wheel cover, and he put it in there in his room, and then somebody all of a sudden felt like giving him a truck. You're driving it. Monty got it. Oh, it works, man. I'm telling you right now, believing God works. You can't believe God and stay carnally minded, though. Won't work. I wouldn't have went on the streets. I went down there, and all the way down there, I'm thinking, man, is this going to work? Is this going to work? My mind. And I'm like, nope, I spoke to it, but God. Bible says in Mark 11:22, have faith in God, and I do. And whatsoever things I desire when I pray, believe I receive it, I have it. And I'm going to preach tonight, I had to keep thinking that and casting those thoughts down like 2 Corinthians did till I got down there and I thought, glory to God, I could have missed this. I could have missed this by not walking by faith. If it says in the Bible that you're blessed going in, blessed going out, I mean, get that in your eyes, man. I mean, think on it. I mean, even if you, most of the time, you won't feel it. You will feel broke. You will feel like things are never going to work out. They're never going to change. You will have to walk out that process. You'll have to walk it out. That's why the Bible says, it don't say we lay down by faith. It says we walk, don't it? It don't say we quit halfway through. He said, run this race with endurance. Endure. Got to endure. He said, there is that scattereth and yet increaseth. And you know what? I said that over myself for years. I would say, I'm him, Lord. I'm one of them. I take that scripture out of there and I scatter and I increase. I didn't see no increase at that time. I took this word by faith because I knew that he says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Paul, Romans 12:2, be not conformed, be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you will walk out what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And I knew it said that, and I thought, I'm going to have that, bless God. I scattered tonight. I sowed seeds tonight. Went up and got me up there to Rainbow and got me some breakfast this morning. I just wanted some eggs, you know, and so I go up there. Well, a friend of mine that's lost in there. And he said, oh, come over here and say it. And I said, well, that's fine. So I go over there and say it. And they've sold that out to somebody, and somebody else has got it, and somebody else is running it now. Well, it's his daughter, you know. And so I'm sitting there, and he said, oh, bro, I got the ticket. And he said, no. He said, it's on the house. I said, no, I don't want it to be on the house. I started to say, if you want to pay for it, not the house, you know. I said, nah. I said, I'm going to get yours too. He said, nah, it's on the house. Well, I got up, you know, started over there to pull my wallet out, and he gets in front of me. And he told the cashier boy, he said, this is on the house. Don't charge him. He's looking at him. He looked at me. And I said, who is he to you? He said, well, that's my papa. I said, well, you better listen to Papa now. So I pulled $100. I just had $100 bill. I told him, I said, give me some change. Then he says, nah, you don't need no change. And I thought, oh man. You know, I said, I need some change. I looked at him, I said, nah. I said, I'm going to get some change. I said, I'm going to leave a tip. Nah, I done left 50 cents on that table. That's what he said. He said, I've done left 50 cents on that table. And I looked at him and I said, is that all? I said, this boy's going to give me change. He ain't got change. I'll give you change. I said, well, go ahead. He counted out and said, 20, 40, 60, 80. He said, I think that's it, ain't it? He had 80 laying there. I said, no, that's 60. He went, no, it ain't. It's 80, ain't it? I said, yeah, but I'm thinking you're going to try to rook me out of 20 and I'm going to get 20 off you and then we'll be even. I'll have my 100 and we'll be good to go. Well, I walked over there and I put $20 on there. I give a tip. The Lord taught me a long time ago, you know, be generous. Be generous. Right here, why? The generous soul, it don't say Sunday morning. It says the generous soul shall be made fat. The word fat, guess what that word means? Rich. You know, I looked it up. I used to say, I don't want to roll around on the floor, man. I knew them holy rollers, fat people, you know, they roll around, got to help them up. And I had to catch them. I was catching people one time. Man, you know, I mean, I've had them just take me to the ground, baby. I'm like, good God, here comes Tessie. Whoo, she's big too, man. Ah, man, I tell them, y'all get over here and help me, man. I'm a little guy, you know, so I thought, that's fat, man. I don't want that. Well, I looked it up one time. It said rich. I said, oh, yeah, I can handle that. So I thought, I'm going to be generous, so I'll be made rich. And he that waters shall be watered. You know, I water the word. I watered the seeds that I've sowed. My tithes and offering. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I've tithed, God, and I thank you, Lord. You rebuke Satan. I'm watering what I've sowed. I'm watering my financial seeds, Lord. Thank you, Lord, because I give. You said it'll be given unto me. Good measure, pressed down. You know, there's a lot of God's people today. They're saying, God, I need this. God, I need that. And he can't do nothing because he requires give. He requires something. He wanted me and you. What happened? He gave Jesus, didn't he? He wanted a harvest. He wanted salvation on this earth. He planted a seed, and his name was Jesus. And that seed that he planted is still bringing a harvest, and it will till that very seed returns here. And so God planted, we water, we plant the word, we water, and God gives the, it is God that's going to make you wealthy. It's God that's going to keep you strong. It's God that, I'm walking out something right now. I'm getting better every day. Been battling it for about 3 months, you know, and I'm not going to say nothing about it. Pray God. And I tell the Lord, I tell him just about every day, I'm taking my medicine right now, Lord. Your word is medicine to all of my flesh. And I'm eating it right now. Healing is the children's bread. And I thank you, Lord, according to the book of Acts, Lord, that some were healed as they went, Lord. Now, I could be laying down there, oh, why me, Lord? I'm a preacher. You know I love you, God. And you know, that's not going to get me nothing. That's not going to get me nothing but poor old Scotty down there. He's labored for nearly 30 years in the Lord, and the poor old boy, God knows he don't deserve that, blah, blah, blah. You don't listen to that. Get up. Get you some suspenders. I thought I'm going to have to get me some suspenders for my britches. They won't stay up while I'm working, you know. And you know what? The Word does is like suspenders. The Word of God is like suspenders in the time of trouble. Talking to somebody the other day, and they're like, well, I've just made up my mind. And I said, it has to be deeper than that. I said, you know, Christians, we just don't make our mind up and make things happen. I said, the Bible says in Proverbs 18:14, the strong spirit of a man, not just a made-up mind, the strong spirit of a man will be sustained in bodily harm and sickness and trouble. That's those that are strong in the Lord, got that relationship with the Lord. They talk with the Lord. They go in and out in green pastures. They go in and dine with him, so to speak. Now, you know what? I don't spend a lot of time on my knees, but I pray all the time. I pray. I talk to the Lord all the time, periodically, all day long. I'll talk to the Lord about something. And I'm, you know, but it says here, the generous soul shall be made rich, and he that waters shall be watered also himself. You know why God at times gives us these things? These things are coming to us. They got to. This church, you can't break this church financially. The more that leaves, the more money that comes in. I've seen it happen. That is a true. I come back to church after it happened when everybody bought the lower building. A bunch of them left, you know, and I thought, oh my God, we couldn't afford that building to start with. Oh my God. Well, don't worry, he said over in Matthew. Don't worry about what you're going to do, what you're going to all that. Seek first the kingdom. Well, then I turned that over to the Lord. I said, no weapons formed against us. They're not the source of this. You gave it to us. You'll keep it. And I just trust you right now in the name of Jesus. And money started coming. Doris was backslid and started tithing. Started mailing her tithe backslid, Mac. People started sending money. And then I see it started coming in. I'm like, glory to God, glory to God. Then I come up here, I said, hey, so many left. You know, we started increasing financially. Anybody else want to go? He fired me up, Mac. I didn't mean to run them off. But God, if people's leaving and we gaining, let's just leave. If you're going to leave anyhow, if you're going to leave us hanging later, just go on out. We're waiting to increase now. Now, that's been a lot of years ago. That's been 15. I wouldn't do that now. Everybody be like, God, he's wanting us to leave? I mean, what? But I was excited to see what God, and I told them what happened. And they got excited, you know. They're excited, you know, to see that God was going to move. See, God don't need us to understand and figure out how to get where we need to be. He needs us to comply with Him, to grow, to speak the Word, keep our confession. The Bible says, as we have believed, therefore we speak. Don't speak nothing over your life contrary to what you believe based on the Word of God. Make quality decisions. I'm having to make quality decisions. You know where I'm at right now? In the business arena. Because God's adding. Now, I'm believing Him for it. And He's in. I've done my book work. I'm up $117,000, $18,000 from last year. Last year, I increased from the year before last. Gross, not that's overall. It was up $117,000. I looked and I said, "Whoa, yeah." Dell said, "Taxes." I said, "Shut up, you idiot! Look, you idiot! Look, look what I believe for. So you go ahead and spit that stupid crap out to me. I don't care about all that. I see what God did. I believed Him, and there is my evidence." Well, I'm believing for double this year of what I made last. Why not? Why not? He said He'd give me double for my trouble. I'm sure Satan stole stuff from me over the years, took jobs and all that. Maybe, I don't know. Pray God, well, I'm just going to believe them all. But here's where I am now. All of this is coming in, this work and all of that. And the Lord said, all you've got to do is manage your time. Manage time. He said, that's all. He said, you believe me for bigger jobs and less work and more money? And I said, yes, sir, I did. I specified what I wanted. He said, now, and I thought, oh, man, all this work. He said, no. He said, just manage the time and I'll give you grace. I'll add favor. See, we're not on our own. We got God's grace and God's favor, and He'll give you wisdom. I'd have never thought. I thought, get rid of the business. Man, this thing ain't going to drive me in the ground. I believe for it, but God knows. I'll give it to Travis so fast. Me and Teresa will be in Florida down on the beach, man. You know, don't even call me, son. Call Mom. Don't call me nothing with God's doors. But God just send me a check every week. See, I would have thought that. See, you don't need out from under pressure. You need God's wisdom in pressure, praise God. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise You, and we thank You, Lord. We thank